This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abaim. Welcome to our Wednesday night shiur, which very sadly is not being offered in the shul tonight. And the reason for that is because for the first time, firstly, there's a curfew tonight, which you're allowed to be out for Mincha Maariv. And technically, I guess I could have been in the shul for a shiur, but I didn't want to be all by myself in the shul at a time like this. So actually, we wired things up, and we're live from my office. How do you like that? But to some of you who joined the shiur at 5 o'clock for the Torah Devaira, this background looks familiar. Now, obviously, it looks very good. It looks like I have a lot of svarim, but nobody would know if I actually have svarim there. You know, they say that with Zoom, you could pick any background you want. You could even pick, like, Rabbi Kiva Eger, like Tzoy Sachoshen, you know? So nobody would ever know whether these are real svarim, real chidushim, real notes in the back. You know, it comes with the territory. If anybody wants to get a good-looking background, you could speak to me privately. You look on the top shelf behind my head, I have svarim there from over 100 years ago, but nobody would know if they're real, you know? But I can't reveal whether they're real or not. But we're going to continue on the subject about Tiras Corona, various interesting she'elois that have come up during this Tekufa. We've mentioned that this period of history has been given a new name, Tekufas Corona, and many shilas have come up. Last week we mentioned from Rav Asher Weiss, and basically all the information we're going to be sharing this evening, and we may continue next week as well, comes from a kuntres of Rav Asher Weiss. The Minchas Asher on Igrois Mamorim that are Negea to the Magefa of Corona. So last week we spoke about whether perhaps it would be permitted to listen to music during this time of the year, during the Sfira. Obviously now it's not relevant anymore. But today, by way of introduction, we want to speak about the subject of hygiene in general. For those who want the Mara Mekoymos, they were emailed out last Wednesday night. They're also emailed out today. So if you have the Mara Mekoymos, you could follow along in your sheet on page 2. We're up to Ois Beis. And Rav Asher Weiss discusses the following issue. We know that Chazal tell us on the Pasuk, Virapo Yerape, from which the sages learn out that from here permission and discretion has been given to the doctors that they have permission to heal. In other words, you might think maybe a doctor doesn't have the right to heal. Maybe it's completely up to God. You know, if God decides to bring on an illness, then it's up to him to cure it. And perhaps there's no human intervention would not be permitted. No, but Chazal say that license has been given to medical practitioners to heal. But now the question is, okay, fine. So if Chas V'Shalom person gets ill, they could go to a doctor and a doctor is allowed to heal them. But does a human being, does a Jew, does a person have an obligation, a halachic Torah obligation, to guard their health so that they won't need to come on to a doctor? In other words, is a person obligated from the Torah to preserve their health and to take care of their body? And the first step is, yes, certainly, this is a Torah obligation. The Torah mandates, the Torah demands of us that we care for our body. Now, the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim offers an astounding statement. The Rambam says, the kavana of all the mitzvahs is twofold. There are two kavanas of the mitzvahs. Number one, obviously, the rectification and the fixing of our nefesh. But more than that, the Rambam says as well, v'tikun haguf. The purpose of mitzvahs is not just to correct your soul. The purpose of mitzvahs is to actually correct your body, that your body should be healthy, your heart should be healthy, your lungs should be healthy. That is the purpose of the body, tikun hanefesh and tikun haguf. The problem is, the Rambam seems to contradict himself. Because the Rambam, in his introduction to Mishnayis, the Rambam says that it is an elementary principle of the intellect that it, with the destruction of the soul comes the rectification of the body. Meaning, correcting the body comes at the cost of ruining your soul. And correcting your soul comes at the cost of fixing your body. The Rambam seems to say that the body and the soul are antithetical to each other, and fixing, correcting, beautifying the body is the antithesis of fixing and beautifying the soul, and vice versa. So we have somewhat of a contradiction, because here the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim says the purpose of all the mitzvahs is both for the rectification of the soul and the rectification of the body. And the Rambam in the Hakdama to the Mishnah says, no, these are polar opposites. Never shall the twain meet. Either if you fix your soul, you're going to be ruining your body. If you're going to ruin your body, you're going to be fixing your soul, and vice versa. So which one is it? Does Judaism believe in the well-being and the good shape of the body, or does Judaism only focus on the soul? So the answer is, says Rav Asher Weiss, yesh v'yesh. There are really two ways and two paths of focusing on the body. Certainly throughout our history, there have been nationalities and ethnicities that have put undue focus and emphasis on the shape and the sculpture and the physical prowess of the body. Certainly the Greeks, the Romans, and that type of emphasis, the body building, body sculpting, the aggrandizement, the beautification of the body is the direct contradiction to the focus and the mission of beautifying your soul. However, certainly Judaism does believe. So as we mentioned, that Judaism does not believe in the aggrandizement and beautification of the body. However, we do believe that the body plays a very important role in our service of Hashem, and that is the body is the host, the achsanya, for the neshama. And the body and the soul are sort of the odd couple that have to get along for 120 years, and therefore it is not possible to ignore the body. It is not possible only to emphasize the soul, because without a healthy body and without the ability for the body to be running on all cylinders, then the soul cannot operate, and the soul does not have the machinery and the tools with which to accomplish what it sets out to accomplish. So there are really a fine balance. On the one hand, the over-emphasis on the beauty of the body is a direct contradiction to the mission of the soul. On the other hand, we cannot abandon the body completely, and in fact, the Rambam does write that the purpose of all the mitzvahs is to not only correct our soul, but to be able to bring about the well-being of the body as well. Now, we know the Rambam was one of the greatest doctors of his time, and he also wrote medical books. But the Rambam did not rely only on the medical books that he wrote, but instead the Rambam devoted two chapters of the Yad HaChazakah to talk about medical information in Perek Gimel and Perek Dalet of Hilchos Deos. In fact, throughout Shas, we find that the Gemara greatly emphasizes the importance of health and well-being. So just give you a few examples. This is on page 2, the bottom left column. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph, that Rav Huna said to Rabbah, his son, hey, Rabbah, why don't you go learn from Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda is a sharp Rebbe. And Rabbah said, I can't learn from him. You wouldn't believe what kind of things he talks about in Shir. I thought he was going to tell me about learning Lamdas Halacha, and he talks about Mili Da'alma. You know what he said? He said that when you go to the Beis HaKisei, you shouldn't push too hard, because it could dislocate some of the stones of the rectum. Can you imagine a Rebbe talking about this? This is what I go to yeshiva for, to learn how to act, conduct myself in a bathroom? Come on, Ta, I'm going to a real yeshiva, where they have lamdus, where they have halacha, not where they learn this kind of stuff. If I want to learn this kind of stuff, I don't know where I would learn this from. So his father said, your Rebbe is telling you about health, and you're calling it Mili Da'alma? If this is what your rabbi talks about, then you need to go to him and only to him. He's the best rabbi around. If he would be talking about halacha and lamdas, that's a small thing. But he's telling you how to preserve your health. For sure you need to go to him. The Gemara Brachas and Daf Mem tells us how to eat. After everything you eat, you should eat salt. After everything you drink, you should drink water. Why is the Gemara telling this to us? What is this? Does this promote Yirah Shamayim? Does this promote Midos Toivos? Does this promote Dikduk B'Halacha? No. All it does is it promotes health and well-being. But we see that clearly the Gemara considered it vital to convey and impart how a person could preserve their health and keep themselves well. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Yud talks about the importance of breakfast every day, pas shachris. You know, we live in an age, people say, I'll grab a coffee and I won't eat till lunch. According to the Gemara, that's considered unhealthy. The Gemara talks about all the physical and psychological benefits that accrue to somebody that eats a healthy breakfast. And furthermore, Chazal talk about the importance of bathing, of hygiene, of laundering, of clean clothing. So this is not just what we call mili da'alma, but this is all the basis of the Torah. This is Torah. In fact, if your Rebbe is talking about good health, good eating, good exercise, that's the Rebbe you need to go to. He's better than a Rebbe that doesn't talk about that. So this is really the introduction to this subject. We're going to speak about a few very interesting halachos today. Let's begin as follows. This shaila I did receive personally, and it was an obvious shaila during the times of this crisis. It's well known that after a woman goes to the mikvah, she is not permitted to bathe or take a shower. Even though she may want to, she may say, oh, that mikvah water after 100 ladies were in it, ugh. You know, but there is a halacha that a woman should not bathe or take a shower after she goes to the mikvah. And it was asked because many women were concerned, okay, fine, I'm going to go to the mikvah. You know, even that was sort of... Many women had to brave the elements and go to the mikveh during this period because many were afraid of catching the disease or maybe it was transmitted in the water. But the truth is, probably the safest place in New York City were in the mikvahs. The amount of chlorine that they put in the mikveh not only could kill corona, probably could kill a cow or a horse. But still, many women were not comfortable going to the mikvah, not being able to bathe after. So it's very interesting. The Rama writes, and this is on page 5, Ois Yod Aleph, the Rama writes in Yoradeh Simen Reish Aleph Sif Ayin Hei, that after going to the mikvah, it is permitted to bathe in order to warm yourself up. But to clean yourself, says the Rama, Yesh Oisrim, there are those who prohibit it. The Chaynagu, and that's the Minhag. Now, what's the basis? What's the rationale of this halacha? Why would you not be able to bathe after the mikvah? So the Mordechai in Shavuos, Mentavshin Nun, brings that the reason is, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara says that someone who goes to the mikvah cannot wash themselves with Mayim Shuvim afterwards, because they may think that what purified them was the Mayim She'uvim, and after that they'll say, you know what, and next time I'll just take a shower, what do I need the mikvah for? If anyway I'm taking a shower, they'll think the shower is what's metaher them, and next time they'll skip the mikvah entirely. However, the Mordechai and the Rav Yah dismiss this chumrah, and they say this chumrah only applies to truma. And the Darkei Moshe brings that most Rishonim also dismiss this Chumrah, although we abide by it. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yoradeh Chelek Beis and Tzadik Vav, that let's say you have a woman, she's an istanis, you know, one of these very fussy women. She can't take the mikvah. In the mikvah one time, 30 years ago, she saw a speck of dirt and she thinks it's all dirty. So the woman says, I ain't going to the mikvah unless I could take a shower after. So Rav Moshe says, let her take a shower. The whole concept of not bathing after is just a chumrah, and we're not going to impose that chumrah under these circumstances. So says Rav Asher Weiss, all the more so, certainly one would be allowed to take a shower after going to the mikvah, especially during this tekufa of time, being that many people perhaps would be uncomfortable in not being able to bathe. So somebody wanted to know whether the mikvah that a woman goes to makes her body tahar or her soul tahar, and the answer is neither. When a woman goes to the mikvah, it is not to make her tahar, it is to make her mutter. This is a very important halacha. Many people, actually probably almost everyone, mistakenly thinks that a woman goes to the mikvah to make herself pure. She's not making herself pure because for all intents and purposes she wasn't impure. A woman goes to the mikvah to make herself mutter. The same way an animal is shechted, not to make it pure, but to make it permitted. A woman goes to the mikvah not because she is impure, but because she's prohibited. The same way a ger goes to the mikvah to have an aliyah, to have an elevation. A woman goes to the mikvah to have an elevation, but not to make herself pure. But that's just for your personal information. Okay, now I want to tell you another interesting chiddush. Baruch Hashem, we just started by us the outdoor minyanim. I see David, right? How's our outdoor minyan, right? David loves it. He's enjoying our outdoor minyan. But what about before this time of outdoor minyan when we basically had a daven on our own? So what could you do? You daven b'yechida. Some people, they daven vasikin, and that has a special power and a special skula. But is there any, let's say you're not going to have a minyan. Is there any advantage whatsoever? Okay, I don't have a minyan, but let me at least daven with someone else. Does that have any meaning? Or once you don't have a minyan, or is it minyan or bust? So I'll tell you, by us, for many, many weeks, and I'll tell you the truth, I miss it. During the week, I would daven a little earlier, and my boys would, you know, daven. When they got up a little bit later, you know, their classes started a little bit later. But on Shabbos, I would want to daven with them. It was very nice. I would act as like the chazan. Obviously, I wouldn't say Kaddish or Kedusha, but we would all daven together. But the question is, does that have any meaning? And if it does have meaning, is there any inyan if you can't have a minyan? Should you daven with your wife? Should you daven with your daughter? We know a wife and a daughter, they can't be mitzdarif to a minyan, but is there any concept of davening with two or three people? So Rav Asher Weiss quotes the chiddush of one of his ancestors, Rav Mordechai Benet, that Rav Mordechai Benet said the following chiddush. We know the pasuk tells us, "Hein kel kaber v'layimas." God says that when we have the prayer of the tzibur, God will never despise it, which typically, according to Shas, refers to the prayers of a minyan. However, Rav Mordechai Benet wants to say that if you don't have a minyan, even davening with another Jew, that's still more powerful than davening yourself. Now, Rav Asher Weiss is sort of incredulous about this chiddush, because if you look throughout the Gemara, for example, the Gemara Brachas on Zayin Amid Beis, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, why don't you come to Shul to daven? So Rav Nachman said, I can't, I don't have the strength. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, why don't you bring a minyan to your house? Rav Nachman said, I don't have the kayach. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, why don't you ask the chazan to let you know when they're davening in Shul, and you'll daven at the same time? And that has meaning, like the Gemara cites the pasuk of Hein Kel Kaber V'lo Yimas. That seems to indicate that the pasuk of Hein Kel Kaber V'lo Yimas is specifically referring to minyan, and there's no significance of davening with another person. However, the Rav Mordechai Benet wants to marshal the Gemara that talks about, if let's say two people are guarding a dead body. Now, what are they guarding the body from? From mice. Mice are very often could defile a dead body. So let's say one of them needs to daven. So what they would do is one would guard the body, the other would go off and daven. Then the other would come and guard the body, and he would go off and daven. And the Gemara says, what if they're both on a boat? So there are no mice on the boat. So then the Gemara says they could both go off in the corner together. That seems to imply, says Mordechai Benet, that there is an adifus and an advantage of two people davening together. Rav Asher Weiss says, no, that doesn't indicate anything. It's just saying that when you're on a boat, then you don't need either of them to guard the body. Be it as it may, says Rav Asher Weiss, if Rav Mordechai Benet says this chiddush, he was one of the great luminaries in an era of Chasam Sofer and the Hafla and other great giants, and therefore if he says this chiddush, we will accept it. And therefore, yes, in fact, if you cannot daven with a minyan, it is, in fact, better to daven with at least another person. And it would come out then that if, you know, your kids are out of the house, it is better to daven together with your wife, says Rav Asher Weiss, than to daven by yourself. That's a big chiddush. I never heard that before. it would be, he says, it would be better to daven together with your daughter than to daven yourself, because at least you're davening with another, and it does have some significance and meaning. Okay, Marv Rabbeisai, I want to discuss now the question of the evening, and that is, as we get closer to Shabbos, and I know many shuls began their outdoor minyanim tonight, some shuls are beginning indoor minyanim, we may have some minyanim in the shul this Shabbos. The question is, for the last 13 weeks, we did not have Kriyas HaTorah. Vayakel, Pekude, Vayikra, Tzav, Shemini, Tazria, Mitzayra, Achremos, Kedoshim, Emar, Bahar, Bechukaisai, Bamidbar, 13 weeks without Kriyas HaTorah. You know what that means, friends? That means you're going to be in shul a really long time this Shabbos. So what? What are you talking about? I have to make up all those parshios. I'll never get out of shul. Do you have to do that or not? Is there an obligation to be mashlim the parshios that you missed out on because you didn't have a minyan and a sefer Torah all these weeks? Now, that may make it that not so many people will want to come back to shul this Shabbos, knowing that they're going to be in shul 8 hours and 53 minutes just for shacharis. So Rav Asher Weiss tries to tackle this issue. Is there an obligation? Bechlal, we know that when it comes to tefillah, if you miss a tefillah, you could make it up, but you can only make it up the next tefillah. If you miss shacharis, you can make it up by mincha. If you miss mincha, you can make it up by maariv. But if you miss shacharis, you can't make it up by maariv. So can you make up parshios? Do you have to make up parshios? And how many would you be responsible to make up? Now, says Rav Asher Weiss on page 6, Oislam Adalid. This halacha, this question was posed to him. It was Parshas Tazria Mitzayra, and they had missed Parshas Shmini. And the question is, do they have to lane Shmini the week of Tazria Mitzayra? So the Ramah says in Siman Kuf Lamed Hei Sif Beis as follows. If 1 week you miss Kriyas HaTorah, the next week you need to make it up. That's a halacha. If you miss a week, you make it up the next week. But, as we're going to see, only the next week. And you can only make up the immediate prior parasha. You can't make up two before. So, then in our case, this week is Nasai. Bamidbar Grada, we had a minyan, but I didn't have a Sefer Torah for Bamidbar. We just got one now. So, if we go to Shul this Shabbos, or if we have a backyard minyan, do we need to lane two parshas? After all, the Ramah says that if you miss, you have a long Shabbos, so it shouldn't be a problem, but us in Australia, Mr. Deutsch, you're in Australia? That's very far away, by the way. You're in Australia? By the way, don't go anywhere. I want to show you guys something. Even though I never publicly revealed this, and I'm a little embarrassed, but I do have one little vice that I have a magnet collection of places that I was zoicha to give shiurim at. And as you see, what country is this? What continent is this?
Australia.
Australia. But look what it says.
I can't see it.
Oh, it's backwards. Australia, what a schlep. Okay? But that's a very far away. You like that?
The problem is we can't leave the country to go anywhere else. That's the problem.
Yeah, right. You're stuck.
So
that's the Shaila. This week, when we're going to be laning Parshas Nasai, do we have to also read Parshas Bamidbar? So the Ramah says, if you miss a Shabbos laning, you make it up the next Shabbos. And this halacha, the Ramah, comes from the Arzarua, the Shibale Haleket, and the Aguda. However, says Rav Asher Weiss, there are a number of additional factors brought in the Achroinim that would severely limit the ramifications of this halacha. Shaila Suchuvas Maharam Mintz, brought by the Magen Avraham Sivkat and Dalet, he says that the Aguda, where this halacha comes from, says that if you missed a Shabbos that has two lanings. Let's say like this. When do you have to make it up? That's if you missed one parsha. But what if I missed a Shabbos that has two lanings? I missed Achrei Mos Kedoshim. I missed Bahar B'Chukosai. I don't make up two parshios the next week, because then it would come out that that week I'm laning three parshios. You never ever read three parshios. The Chazal never have formulated a mitzvah to lane three parshios. Maximum two. It's two is the most. There's a parsha cap. Right? There used to be in the ancient days something called Major League Baseball. So they had a salary cap. So, but now there's also a parsha cap. Parsha cap is you cannot lay more than two parshas. That's the mashmois of the Aguda, that if you miss a double parsha, you're never going to lay more than three parshas. And then it would come out that if you missed, let's say, five consecutive weeks, you're only going to make up the immediately prior parsha. Now, according to this, Rabbi Isai, not only if you missed a double parsha do you not make it up, but if you missed a single parsha, you're not going to make it up the week of a double parsha. Because again, you can't lay in more than two parshios. So says Rav Asher Weiss, this week is Tazria Metzaira, last week was Shemini. So yeah, that was only one parsha. But you can't make up this week, because if you're going to make up this week, you're going to end up reading three parshios. So that's one factor that why we wouldn't have to make up a parsha. So the good news is, even though we missed 13 parshios, you're not going to have to read more than one extra one. So I've already knocked down the 8 hours and 53 minutes of Shabbos morning davening to maximum 3 hours now, okay? So that's the first step. Second step is the Shari Ephraim. Shari Ephraim says, when is there an obligation to make up Miss Kriyas HaTorah? That's when the tzibur was together in shul the previous Shabbos, but they just couldn't lane. So since they were in shul and they had an obligation to lane, and they couldn't fulfill the obligation, so the halacha is the next week they have to lane. But if they weren't even able to get together at all because the shuls were locked and closed, they never had the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah in the first place, and if they never had the obligation, they don't have to make it up. Now this would not apply to us. You want to have to do with Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah, you're only reading one parasha. You're just reading Simchas Torah. But this would not apply to us, because actually we had a backyard minyan, Parshas Bamidbar. But we happen not to have had a Sefer Torah. So this week where we have a Sefer Torah, it would come out so far, we're going to have to lay in two parshios. Nasai and Bamidbar. First of all, we're only laning two total. Second of all, we were together last Shabbos. It's just we didn't have a Sefer Torah. But then Rav Asher Weiss throws in another factor. And he says, after missing a double parsha, do you make up nothing or just the second? It sounds like you don't make up anything, because that parsha is a double parsha. There's no significance, it sounds like, of just half of it. Okay, the next point. There's a minyan. I'm sure you all know minyanim like this. How often do they meet? Every Shabbos, basically. You know, I have friends, they moved to a new community on the island, and they started out with like about 10 guys, and they didn't have a minyan every Shabbos. Out of 50 weeks, how many times do they have a minyan? 30 weeks. Okay, so does that mean every time they don't have a minyan, they're going to have to make it up the next Shabbos to Kriyas HaTorah? So the Shvus Yaakov says another chiddush, that the whole mitzvah of making up a lost parsha is only when it's a one-time occurrence. So I missed Noyach, I'll make it up Lechacha. I missed Kiseitze, I'll make it up Kisavai. But if this is happening every so often, you don't make it up. Why, says the Shvus Yaakov? Because this would abolish the takana of Chazal, that Chazal said, you lane a designated parsha on a specific week. And once you're going to start often, what are you laning this week? Well, last week we didn't get together, so this week we're going to lane two parshas. And so you're really ruining the rhythm and the uniqueness of the parsha of the week. So occasionally, there would be an obligation to make it up. But if this is a minyan which is sporadic and haphazard, there's no mitzvah to make up what lost parshias. Says Rav Moshe Weiss, in his opinion, this would apply here also. I guess especially in Israel. And that is, first, you know, the Minister of Health said, you could have a minion. Oh, so we got together. Then there were spikes in the cases, and they said, no minion, the next Shabbos. So this week, yeah, that week, no. So this is a situation that's vacillating, changing, back and forth, back and forth. And therefore, says Rav Asher Weiss, in that case, we would never obligate makeup, because that will really disturb the uniqueness of the parasha to the week. Somebody wanted to know, what do they do in the Holocaust? So again, as we mentioned, when you miss parashas, anyway, you're never going to make up more than just the week before. But I happen to know there was a certain gadol, one of the rabbanim in this neighborhood is a descendant of his. And this past January, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I went to his kever on Har HaZesim. He wrote a very detailed account of the correct time of sunrise in Yerushalayim and in Eretz Yisrael. And he spent a lot of his time traveling and studying sunrise. But because of that, he had to miss many, many Kriyas HaTorahs. And he writes that he fasted for every Kriyas HaTorah that he missed. While we're on the subject, you know, a Kriyas HaTorah is a very serious obligation that we all have to try our, you know, unfortunately, we sort of got used to the fact that, you know, we weren't able to hear the Torah for so many weeks. There's a footnote in the Maharil. The Maharil says that during the course of a year, you take out a Sefer Torah 248 times, corresponding to a person's limbs, indicating that there is some element of health and well-being that is infused into each limb of the body through the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So, says Rav Asher Weiss, here in Israel, where the situation is back and forth, it would be very difficult to say you should make up every time you miss it, because then you're going to be in a situation where the parsha of the week is going to be diluted. Another factor, says Rav Asher Weiss. Oh, thank you. Rabbi Yosef Schwartz, my dear, Rabbi Gedalia reminded me, Rabbi Yosef Schwartz, his name eluded me. Thank you, Gedalia. And, yes, Shkoyach. And Gedalia got me his sefer. Do you remember what it's called? Tvuay Sa'aretz? What was it called? I gotta remember. Okay. It's in my night table upstairs. But, you know, I can't show you everything tonight. Today you saw my magnet from Australia, and that's as far as I could really share with you in terms of personal stuff. But Rav Asher Weiss brings another factor over here, and that is, there's another Shari Ephraim. And the Shari Ephraim says that, okay, somebody wanted to know, well, I read from a tikkun every Shabbos. You know, that doesn't really help, because that's not the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. You have to read from a Torah. Anyway, there's another factor here. The factor is that this din, that if you miss a parsha, it has to be made up, that's only if the majority of the tzibur did not hear Kriyas HaTorah the week that it was missed. But if, let's say, 1 week the shul was locked, and everyone had backyard minyanim, and most of the people heard Kriyas HaTorah on their own accord, then when the shul reconvenes, says Rav Asher Weiss, quoting the Shari Ephraim, there is no mitzvah to lane, you're not allowed to lane. And therefore, says Rav Asher Weiss, it could be here in Israel, where even before they allowed the backyard minyanim, they had porch minyanim, and many people did hear Kriyas HaTorah. Maybe it's a situation where the majority of people did hear Kriyas HaTorah. So in the end, Rav Asher Weiss gives four reasons why you would not have to make up the Kriyas HaTorah, and I do not feel that any of them apply to our situation. Number one, Rav Asher Weiss says, it's Parshas Tazria Metzora, and in that case you're going to end up laning three Parshios. Obviously that doesn't apply this week. Number two, the Shari Ephraim says that the din that you have to make it up is only if the tzibur got together and didn't lane, but if they couldn't go to shul b'chlal, then there was no chiyuv to lane. Well, as I mentioned before, that was our situation. We did get together last Shabbos, we just didn't have Kriyas HaTorah. Third of all, Rav Asher Weiss says, if it's a vacillating situation, 1 week you can have a minyan, 1 week we can't, then you're not going to be able to make up sometimes. And again, I don't think that's a situation in America, because at least in this area, I think once they let us go back to shul, we're back in shul. Somebody said the psak of who? Rabbi Wurzberger? Okay, he says you should say the parasha ourselves. That's true, that counts as Shnayim Mikra. However, that ain't going to do you any good regarding making up the parsha. But send Rabbi Wurzberger my best regards. Tell him I miss him. Okay. And fourth of all, says Rav Asher Weiss, that if most of the people already heard the Kriyas HaTorah, you're not going to have to lane it in the next week. And again, I don't think that applies in our situation, because I don't think most people in America, the weeks that there was no minyan, heard Kriyas HaTorah. So I think Me'ikar Adin, there may be a reason that at least the first week you come back to shul, if you're not dealing with a double parsha, you would have to make up the previous parsha. However, Rav Asher Weiss throws in some practical considerations, and those I do feel are very reasonable, and I think would exempt us from making up the missing laning. And that is, says Rav Asher Weiss, during this time of and this period in our life and in world history, we have to be very concerned for a long davening. You know, it's a shaila. Can people even go back to the shul? Some shuls are not open yet. And certainly, being in a shul, it is unclear that it's safe. So those who are going to do it are going to be there, do what they're absolutely obligated to do, but no more. This is not a time for stringent practices. Says Rav Asher Weiss, you know, for davening perhaps, you could have social distancing. But during Kriyas HaTorah, social distancing becomes a little bit difficult, especially in terms of what we're about to discuss, namely how you deal with the aliyos. You know, all of a sudden you're going to have all the mikubalim when they do vizois ha-Torah, everyone's going to run up to look at the oisios of the Torah, and you know, it becomes somewhat of a difficult situation. So, since there is a concern of sakana and pikuach nefesh, this is not a time to be machmer. Furthermore, it is in somewhat of a tircha de tzibura, and therefore, Rav Asher Weiss says, especially based on the previous considerations, one would not have to make up the laning. But as we pointed out, it's not so clear that these reasons apply to our situation. Let's just conclude with the obvious dilemma that I think probably we all know the answer to. And that is, what do you do with the aliyos? You know, how do you divvy out the aliyos? So what's the issue? The issue is, and this is found on page 5, Ois Chavav, the Gemara Megillah says, Me'ikar Adin, the first oile makes Asher Bachar Banu, and when his aliyah is over, he does not say the brach at the end. You call up the second guy without any brachos, the third guy without any brachos, the fourth guy without any brachos, the fifth guy, and the seventh guy makes no bracha before, but makes a bracha after. That's Me'ikar Hadin, but the Chachamim were masakin that every individual makes a bracha before and makes a bracha after, so that if in case somebody comes late, they won't be missing the bracha before. If somebody leaves early, they won't be missing the bracha after. So, you'll say, okay, not a problem.
Do you read first makeup or the regular parsha of the week?
Again, we just said that we're not gonna. If you make up, you're gonna do the makeup first. You're gonna go in order. So, technically speaking, you would be allowed to go back to the din of the Gemara and make the first oila makes the bracha before, and the last oila makes the bracha after. But at the end of the day, you need seven oilim. And in a social distanced minyan, you cannot call up seven people to the Torah, because you can't even call up one person to the Torah. He's way too close to the Baal Kore. So how do you divvy up the aliyos under the circumstances? So maybe, says Rav Asher Weiss, you'll say that a guy will a guy will make the bracha from afar, long distance bracha. Because after all, what is the halacha? Can a blind person get an aliyah? So the minog b'nei Ashkenaz is we call up a blind person to the Torah. This is a psak of the Raman Simon Kuf Lamed Tes. So if a blind person who can't see could get an aliyah, perhaps someone who's 50 feet away on his back porch could also get an aliyah. Well, says Rav Asher Weiss, no. Aliyah means you need to physically go up to the Torah. It's not enough to say, Yamoid, and the guy's sitting on his back porch in his hammock, you know, swaying back and forth. And aliyah means you physically approach the Torah, and you see the Torah. So even though the Suma cannot see, okay, that's a chiddush, and that's a novelty, and there's a concept when our Chachamim teach us a novel halacha, we leave it as that, but we don't really have a right to extrapolate further. However, says Rav Asher Weiss, there are one of two solutions to this difficult problem. Number one, who has the Sefer Torah? Yankel. And Yankel's at the Minyan with his two boys, with Reuven and Shimon. So we have a great idea. Yankel will get Kayin, Reuven will get Levi, Shimon will get Yisrael, Yankel will get Revi, and we'll do father-son. Oh, father-son, everybody knows, it's like, you can't have a father and a son get aliyah back to back. Doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say that you can't call up a father and a son? The answer is no. The Shulchan Aruch says you could. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Simin, Kuf Mem Aleph, Yechoyelim Likrois Bezachim Zazah. You could call up two brothers one after another, or a father and a son. We just don't let them because of Ayin Hara. That means mitzad hadin, you're allowed to call up father and son and two brothers. It's only because of ayin hara, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah says, if you made the mistake and you called up a father and a son, then he takes the aliyah. You don't renege, you don't send them down. The Aruch HaShulchan even says, let's say you're a guy, I don't care about ayin hara, I don't believe in ayin hara. Then you could take the aliyah. And even though that's not the minog, but says Rav Asher Weiss, under the circumstances, which is a shas hadchak, you're not going to be mevatel kriyas haTorah because you can't figure out the aliyah, so you'll have a father and a son. And there's no ayin hara because everybody knows that there's no alternative. However, says Rav Asher Weiss, is a much simpler solution. And that is, Chazal were mesakin, you call up seven people, but they never said you have to call up seven different people. Because the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you have a tzibur of Amei Aretz who can't make the bracha, call up one person for all the aliyos. And even though we don't do that, and we let the Amei Aretz go up, even though they don't know how to read, nevertheless, certainly the halacha remains true, and that is that if we have extenuating circumstances, what you could do is, and this is lemaisa, the halacha, that we call up the Baal Koireh for Koyein, for Levi, for Yisrael, for Ravi, for Chamishi, for Shishi. Now obviously we're going to charge him big time, we're going to take his credit card number, we're going to hit him up for the building fund, and we're going to put his name on the building. After all, when else could you get seven aliyahs back to back to back? Not just joking, but we are going to, you know, we're going to make him pay for it. But that is the best Eitzah, says Rav Asher Weiss, one person makes all of the aliyahs. There's still many, many other interesting...
Bracha for each one, right?
He lanes and he makes the bracha separately for each one. Absolutely, yes. Be'ezus Hashem, Rabbeisai. Next week we're going to discuss another number of interesting shailas. Priority in terms of saving life, sharing respirators. Can you use Zoom on Shabbos and Yom Tov to visit family or to visit elderly parents and grandparents? Obviously, not to watch the shir. You cannot use Zoom to go on to Torah Anytime, even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. As much as I'm a proponent of Torah Anytime, we don't do that on Shabbos. But the question is, what if there's a pressing need? And that is something we're going to discuss, Be'ezus Hashem, next time. And until then, wishing everyone a great night. I want to remind everyone, every day at 5 p.m., we learn Toimer Devaira. And... Be'ez Hashem, if you want to stay tuned for all the schedule of Shiurim, Have a great night. Shkayach. Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.